Ways that Christ got the attention of the people and the leaders during the time he was here on earth was to say things that went against conventional thought. I don't know if you'd actually call them shocking, but they were at least thought-provoking. He would make a statement, and you know that the people listening to had to say, "Wait, what? What did you just say? Did I hear that correctly?" He would say things like, if you want to have eternal life, you have to be born again. He gave examples where the hero of the story wasn't the Pharisee, wasn't the Sadducee, wasn't the leaders of the time, it was the tax collector or the Samaritan. He took a person who was caught in the act of sin, on the verge of losing their life, and rather than give out the punishment that the law required, he told the people, let he who is without sin be the first to cast the first stone. In a similar vein, he said that if you want to be an adult, if you want to be a mature Christian, you need to learn to act more like a child. No, he didn't say it exactly that way. But that was the sense of what he said. And he was making a point that adults lose at some point part of their innocence, their maybe character, you could even say, as they grow up. And that missing part needs to be recaptured. That as adults, we can learn things from looking at small children, learn lessons that really we should be, we need to relearn. And I think the danger of losing that childlike attitude increases as you have been around the church longer. I think that it becomes easy as you've been around 40, 50, 60 years. And we have a number of people of different ages that have spent most, if not all, of their life in God's church. But it's easy to get the attitude, I've seen that, I've done that, I know everything that I really need to know. I'm able to make a judgment about everything and anything because I've been here forever. I've heard everything, and I'm doing my best. And we can become judgmental, which isn't what a child is like either. So the lessons of being childlike is what we're going to talk about today. Some of the characteristics of that attitude, what they should look like in us as maturing Christians. We'll look at some lessons that the Bible will give us about what it really means to be like a little child and how we should apply those in our life. And we're going to address the question, what does it really mean to have a childlike attitude? I want to address the naysayers before I get into this too deeply, because I'm going to, as we go through this message, make statements along the lines of little children do this, little children are like this. And if you're in a contrary mood today, you're going to say, that's not what all little kids do. That's not how my brother, sister, child, neighbor acts. And we know there's exceptions to the rules. What I'm going to be talking about as we address what little children are like is generalities. I recognize that. And that's also what Christ was doing, because there were bratty children in his time, just as there are bratty children now. And so remember that we're talking about general attitudes that you can find in many children across the board, and even attitudes that you'll find even in the bratty ones occasionally. When we talk about that, it's also important that we start today with an understanding of how important this principle is of making sure that we maintain a childlike attitude as it's described in the Bible. The need for adults to reflect those children. How important that is to God, because it isn't something that Christ says is a nice to do kind of thing. Christ says it's very important to our spiritual well-being to keep a childlike attitude. And he warns us about losing that, and that it can be lost, and that we need to regain it. It's very easy in this society, and as we experience the life that comes from being a part of this society, to become cynical and negative and pessimistic. And that's really not how Christ wants us to live our lives as Christians. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. We'll begin reading in verse 1, Matthew 18. At this time, the disciples came to Christ and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child to him, and he set that little child in the middle of the group that were asking the question, and he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Christ didn't say, if you aren't changed, if you don't change what's happening in your life and your attitude to develop a childlike attitude, he didn't just say, well, you'll suffer once in a while. He said, you will not enter the kingdom of God. So Christ says it's very important, which should get our ears to perk up a little bit as we listen to this, and help us to really analyze ourselves as we look at the different aspects of a childlike attitude and ask whether we are reflecting that or if we have become a cynical adult and have lost that childlike attitude. Verse 4, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself or herself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So the first quality of a childlike attitude that Christ tells us here is we must be humble. Whoever humbles himself. And there are a number of ways that humility can be defined, a number of examples that we can find in the Bible of humility. When we look at it from this specific light and how and what the child in the example was showing, we see some ways in which that humility was expressed by that child. We see a lack of self-consciousness in that little child. He wasn't worried, oh no, I'm here in the middle of all of this and all these adults are staring at me. What do I do? Do I run away? Do I hide? He didn't seem to be concerned about what those other people were thinking. Didn't even recognize that he should be concerned, really, about what the other people were thinking about him. He wasn't self-conscious, wasn't concerned about how he dressed. Oh no, Christ called me in front of this crowd and my shoes don't match. He just was not concerned about those kind of things. And that is part of what humility is that we're not so concerned about the physical things and how we look to other people. We recognize that there's more important things that we should be focusing on. Christ brought this little child into the middle of a crowd of adults, and there's no indication the child thought anything of it. And you know, like I said, I'm sure the people were staring at him, trying to figure out what they were supposed to be understanding until Christ started talking. Young children don't generally look around and see how they stack up against other children. They may want something else another child has, but there's not too much of comparison. Oh, he's so much smarter than me. She's so much prettier than me. Until the adults start to bring that into the equation. Young children don't recognize those kind of things. I think you could say that this type of humility means also living in the moment. That he was, you know, learning to enjoy the people that you're around simply because of who they are, without, again, trying to make sure you stack up in some way, or they stack up and meet your expectations in some way. And some of these may be a little unusual way to define humility, but I think as we look at Christ's example, those aspects are there and are part of the example. Turn to Luke chapter 18. There's a similar message here. Luke chapter 18. We'll begin in verse 9, and you'll see how this ties in a little bit. Luke 18, verse 9. Then Christ spoke this parable to those who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Remember what I had said about adults and being longtime members of the church and how it becomes easy to trust in ourselves that we are righteous and look down on others. Two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed this way by himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. I'm not an extortioner or an unjust or an adulterer or even like this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, didn't so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, please be merciful to me as I am a sinner. And then Christ said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. Christ gives us a warning of that adults can fall into a trap of believing that we're righteous, looking down on others. Christ said a humble attitude doesn't place ourselves above other people. And Christ said that our accomplishments shouldn't lead us to place ourselves above other people. But he continues, and I believe it's a continuation of his same point and same thought in verse 15. They also brought infants to him that he might touch them. But then when the disciples saw that, they rebuked the people bringing the infants. But Christ called to them, and he said, let the little children come to me. Don't forbid them, because for of such is the kingdom of God. This type of attitude is what the kingdom of God is going to be about. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it. So we have a point being made that to be childlike requires humility. To be childlike means not to exalt ourselves. To be childlike means to be humble, and that all of these things are aspects of humility. To be childlike means not trusting in ourselves that we are righteous. We need to remember where we stand in the scheme of things. We are never the greatest. We are never the most righteous. We are never the ones that have set the standard. Christ did that. He and the Father continue to do that. Our only righteousness comes because of Christ living in us. So one aspect of a childlike attitude is that humility that we've been talking about. Let's read now as we get into the second aspect of a childlike attitude in Proverbs chapter 10. We'll read verse 1, Proverbs chapter 10. The proverb of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father. A foolish son is the grief of his mother. I'm not going to tell you that the next aspect of a childlike attitude is wisdom. I think this scripture actually points to a different aspect of a childlike attitude. I'm not going to tell you that proof of this wisdom of childhood is reading the book, Everything I Needed to Know in Life I Learned in Kindergarten, which I think is kind of a stupid book. And a stupid idea. But there are different principles at work in the verse that we just read. What does a wise child do? The wise child is the one who makes his parents happy and proud, and that's what they want to do. It's important to them And again, think about little children in general and the attitudes you find. They will go to great lengths to please their parents. And as we talk about this aspect of it, I want to bring up a point, and I think it's worth all of us thinking about. It's something it came to me as I was going over this morning, so I didn't have a lot of time to develop it. But when we talk about pleasing, as a Christian, we talk about pleasing our parents, that thought goes to the Father, to pleasing God. But the Bible says that Christians have two parents. God the Father and the church is called the mother of us all many times in the Bible. So as you think about some of these aspects of childlike attitude, I think it's important and can be thought-provoking to expand it beyond just our attitude toward the Father, but also our attitude toward our mother, attitude toward the church. And asking ourselves, do these aspects of a childlike attitude also apply to how I think about the church? How I think about this group of people, this body of believers. And I think it is, I think it can be thought-provoking at least, because I know that many times in relation to this, we look for ways to please our Father, but we look for ways that things that the mother can do for us to make us happy. We don't hold the same relationship. We expect the church to change or to do what makes us happy, makes us feel better. And it's different than the way we look at the Father. And so ask yourself as we go through this, should that be different? Or should it be the same? Should we treat, as we talk about some of these relational aspects of a childlike attitude, should both parents be treated the same way and be thought of in the same way? Little children will find something outside and bring it in as a gift to their parents. They'll sit down without being asked and make a card or a picture, just letting their mom or dad know how much they love them or how much they enjoyed something that they did. Little children want to help, to pick up, to cook, to help cook, to make a mess. Work on the car, maybe if that's one of their parents is interested in that. And it doesn't last forever. They lose that part of their childlike attitude as well, but it's great when it does happen. There are many, many songs that have been written about this relationship. Some happy songs, some sad songs, about the desire for children to be like their parent and to make them happy. We recognize that it's a part of that relationship, part of being childlike. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 will begin in verse 7. Because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Paul's talking here about how adults can become. That carnal mind that adults develop. And while little children certainly can react carnally to things, they don't have that level of enmity toward their parents, toward their rules. Little children, when they're properly reared at least, don't struggle against every rule. They don't fight with their parents all the time for control of the family. They believe in their parents' good intentions, both of their father and their mother. Little children believe in their parents' good intentions. Little children, because of that, are willing to go to those lengths to try to please their parents. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll read beginning in verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore, setting aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking, become as newborn babes. Desire the pure miracle of the word, that you may grow thereby. Again, he's recognizing that there's a change that happens that we have to guard against. That as adults, we can have malice, we can be deceitful, we can have hypocrisy or envy. We can say bad things about people. But that's not the way that a young babe is. And we're told, again, to put aside some of those bad things that come from adulthood and return to a childlike attitude. What lengths are you willing to go to make your Father in heaven happy? What lengths are you willing to go to make your mother happy? Do you look for ways to help? In your prayers or your meditation, do you look for ways to give back in some form, to give some kind of a present, to show your appreciation? Do you find yourself struggling against father and mother when you shouldn't be? And really turning away from that leadership. Little children, a childlike attitude says that you look to please rather than to demand and control. Another aspect of that attitude, the third one, if you're taking notes and writing things down, is that little children are honest and open. Little children are honest and open. Turn to 1 John chapter 1. We'll read beginning in verse 8, 1 John 1, 8. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in them. Oh, I read chapter 2. That's why it didn't seem to make sense with my point. So let's go to chapter 1, and I'll read verse 8 from there. Maybe it'll make more sense. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If we say we have no sin, then we're lying. If we don't recognize our faults and our weaknesses and are honest and open about them to God, and really to some degree within our family, within the church, then we're making a mistake. God says when we're open about our sins and confess them, he forgives them. But many times it's easier to hide those. Many times it's easier to not bring those up in our prayers and really talk about that in an open manner. I think this has a close relationship to humility. If we recognize and are humble in how we fail and we're willing to talk to our Father about it, then he works with us and he can help us. Little children are very open and honest about what they say. Part of child rearing is actually helping them to understand when things should be said and when things shouldn't be said. But again, that comes from their desire, their just natural inclination to be honest and open about things. And as it relates to us as Christians, it's should be an aspect of our relationship with God. God wants openness in us. He wants us to come and talk to him about everything, including the bad stuff, and ask for his help. He wants us to be open about our successes too, just as much as our failures, and talk to him about those things. I don't know if you can really call it bragging, but it's one of the non-judgmental areas is prayer, where you can say, God, I did this and I'm pretty proud of it, and not feel like you're going to be looked down on. God just wants honesty. He wants us to not be afraid to come to him with anything. And that includes asking him again for forgiveness for that sin we keep doing over and over and over again. Ultimately, as a childlike attitude should work for our relationship to where there are no barriers. There are no barriers between us and God. To feel that we can trust him, that we can have confidence, that we can bring anything to him. Let's turn now to Hebrews chapter 12. Beginning in verse 9, Hebrews 12. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed, for a few days, chastened us as it seemed best to them, but God does it for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. And no chastening seems to be joyful at the present, but it's painful. Nevertheless, afterward, God's chastening yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. God always looks for the path that produces the best results. He always is trying to work out things for the very best for us. Sometimes that requires some pain and suffering. Sometimes it requires something else. But he wants us to have confidence that Father knows best, for all of you that remember 50s or 40s even that might have been. Father Knows Best is an old TV show. Think about the true repentance from a little child. How quickly, when it's pointed out to them that they're wrong, how quickly they collapse, how quickly they cry, how quickly they regret it. How open they are about wanting to do better, just wanting to be hugged and forgiven and move on. That's the kind of relationship that God is looking for with us, that kind of openness. And again, it's that adult, more corrupt side of us that blocks that if it's happening in your life. It's not because you've got a childlike attitude and you're holding back. It's because you've lost some of that. Turn to Psalms chapter 51. We'll read beginning in verse 3, Psalms 51. David was a man after God's own heart. David set a good example for us and left a good example for us in so many different ways. In verse 3, he says, one of his prayers, as the sermonette talked about, "For I acknowledge my sins, and I see my sins always before me. And I recognize that those sins have been against you and you only. And I've done this evil in your sight. I pray that you may find me when you speak and be blameless before you when you judge me." David acknowledged his sins. He was open with God, very open. When we read all of the things that he wrote, I don't know that there was anything that David feared opening up to God about and asking him about. And certainly showed this aspect of a childlike attitude in the way that he, in his relationship with God. The fourth aspect we're going to talk about is how excited children can become with the simplest of things. How it doesn't take something extravagant, something costly, for a young child to just be excited because they were given something. A simple gift, a surprise discovery seeing something for the first time, the wonder and awe that you see in a child. It doesn't take a big thing to make a small child happy. A small child doesn't need things to be happy. Time with their parent. It's one of the things that make young children the happiest, is just to do things with their parent. Play a game, read a book, take a trip to the park, maybe get to go to McDonald's and play in the fun land. It was one of our boys' fun things to do. And our granddaughters, actually, for a while. Of course, we never fed them anything from McDonald's. It was all just healthy food, and we never did anything like it. It was just going there for the fun land. Sarcasm, not a lie. Sarcasm. But they did. They loved it. They make memories by the things that they do with their parents. And a child like us, our childlike attitude, we should be making memories by the things, the time we spend with those parents. Turn to back to Romans chapter 8. Begin reading in verse 14, Romans chapter 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are the children of God. You did not receive a spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by which you cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs in Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified. A promise of what it should be, what we should think about as being children of God. How excited we should be for this promise that's set before us, for this gift that God has given us. And as we look at our life and we read through God's scriptures, we should be able to see so many different ways in which we have been gifted. Sometimes simple things, answers to small prayers, and sometimes huge things. But those gifts should excite us. They are a product of a childlike attitude, of looking to what your parents are doing for you, with you, and just being awestruck about what that's like, and happy for whatever gift we have been given and we are given. But this gift is really about time. The aspect of a childlike attitude that wants to and is willing to and loves to spend time with their parents. And we should ask ourselves, if we have that, do we look forward to spending time with our parents, with the Father in prayer and study and fasting and meditation, with our mother by coming to church, by fellowshipping, by growing our relationships here? Are we excited about spending those times, sharing those times? Or, again, because it's becoming, we're allowing it to become rote and habitual rather than recognizing what a blessing it is, we start to take them for granted, or we kind of rebel against them and make up excuses to not spend that time and share that time. And I think that's an area all of us struggle with from time to time. Fighting that against being tired and being overburdened and thinking that we're better off not spending time in that relationship and being by ourselves, which, of course, being by yourself is the greatest thing in the world that you could, you know, that's the key to success, is spending time by yourself. Because we all have it all figured out and we can all make all the right decisions just by ourselves. But that is, again, that's where that departure from a childlike attitude gets us into trouble. A little child is excited about that relationship and having that time. Another aspect of that childlike attitude is that a little child trusts their parents. A little child trusts their parents. Turn to Psalms chapter 131. Psalms 131, beginning in verse 1. Lord, my heart is not haughty, and my eyes are not lofty, neither do I concern myself with great matters or things that are too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul just like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. David is making a contrast between how he sometimes thinks he should be or wants to be or sees an adult should be, concerned with profound things, concerned with great matters. But he says, what I've done is returned to my childhood in some ways. I've calmed myself like a weaned child. I've allowed myself to find peace and not worry about these things as much. And he says in verse 3, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. He's basically saying the reason I do that is because I look to God to take care of these things. I'm not thinking I have to do all this myself. I can find calm and I can find peace and I can find quiet because I let God know, I tell myself God will handle this and he's better suited to handle it. I think David is saying that there are times as adults that we can overcomplicate things. Or we can think that we are the ones that have to solve this by ourselves. And he's making a counter statement to that that says, no, that isn't the way that it has to be. I can keep it simple. I can find peace by laying this at God's feet and then having trust that he will take care of it for me. A trusting child really isn't afraid. They have confidence that their child will protect them and take care of them. And what does a young child do when they start to cry, when they're afraid or they're uncertain? They look to their parents. They turn to their parents for support and for comfort and for strength. How many times have you seen a young child that will step into a situation, you know, something where they're not really certain about. Maybe it's they're thinking they're going to jump off this, you know, 1 foot high thing because it's pretty risky. And they're up there and they think they're going to do it, and all of a sudden they realize this could be dangerous. And who do they look to first? They look to their parents. Catch me, or help me, or reassure me. They trust that their parents will help them do the right thing in that situation. And that is, again, one of those aspects that we need to make sure that we are holding on to. That we do really trust that God will get us through. That the solution that God finds for whatever we find ourselves in is going to be the best. That doesn't mean we don't take action on our own, and we just sit back and say, I'm going to just let God do it all, because that isn't how he expects us to handle things either. But underscoring all that we do, that trust that God is behind it and God will make sure that it works out for the best should be there for us as we maintain a childlike attitude. Turn to Psalms. Well, we're in Psalms. Let's turn to chapter 23. Psalms 23. Very familiar chapter. But in the perspective of what we're talking about today, you could say that this is the prayer of a thankful child. A trusting child. child, knowing that he's safe in the hands of his parent. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. He makes me, he helps me to lie down in green pastures and leads me by peaceful waters. He restores my soul, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear evil because he is with me. His rod and his staff will comfort me. Your presence, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Definitely not the statement of a jaded, suspicious, untrusting adult. When you look at so many of the things that David wrote, and you, again, from this perspective, you see someone who maintains that childlike attitude toward his father throughout his whole life. And the Psalms are a great example for us of that kind of an attitude and what it means and how it's manifested. When crunch time comes, who do we trust? How many times when it really comes down to crunch are we trusting in ourselves versus trusting in our Father? So that aspect of a childlike attitude is trust in your parents. This is the sixth on my list. Hopefully I've been labeling them for you all. A young child is loving, just loving. They just love to love. They love to be held. They love to be hugged. They love to be close. They respond to their parents, and their parents love to see that response. And I think there's something that we recognize that's very pure and genuine and unusual about the love of a small child. That touches our heart and brings a smile to our face in ways that other things that they do or other ways of showing love don't they aren't exactly the same thing. And it's almost impossible not to respond back when some child comes up with a smile and wants to give you a hug, wants to sit on your lap, wants to say something to you, show you something. And our Father responds in exactly the same way to our love when it's that genuine and that pure in the same way. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. We'll begin in verse 7 of 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who doesn't love doesn't know God, for God is love. And this is the love that God has manifested toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through that Son. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. God loves, and he loves it when we can express our love back to him. And again, do you look for ways to express that love? Do you say it? Do you tell God that you love him? And then do you look for ways to show that as well? You know that God never gets tired of that. Neither one of those aspects of it. So what are you communicating in your life? Is it that childlike love? Or again, have you lost some of that? And the last aspect that we're talking about today is that a young child is totally dependent on their parents. And they don't mind it. They don't mind being dependent. They don't think it somehow makes them smaller to look to their parent for the things that they need. They don't think it somehow makes them less in their parent's eye because they look to them for the things that they need. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. One of the, for me, and it's probably different for other people, but one of the most difficult parts of my life is allowing myself to be dependent. It's, you know, my human nature, I guess you'd have to say, certainly is to be independent, certainly is to be self-sufficient, certainly is to believe that I can get good results just naturally out of my own wonderfulness. And to be dependent and really take that to any kind of depth is hard for me. Matthew chapter 11, we'll read beginning in verse 28. Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle, lowly of heart. You'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come to me. Christ says, I can carry whatever you need to have carried. I can do that. I want to do that. Come to me, all of you who are laboring, all of you who have heavy burdens, and I'll give you a break. I'll give you a hand. I'll carry it for you. He doesn't say, and I'm doing that because you're so weak and so worthless, and I know that I'm going to have to do it, and so I'll do it. He wants to do that, and he doesn't think less of either any of us when we need him to carry that burden. James chapter 1. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, or is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, who has no variation, no shadow of turning. God supplies everything we need. He's willing to. He wants us to look to him to supply our every need. He's willing to do that. And wants to. The only way that we can find true success as a Christian is by making sure that we maintain this childlike attitude, that we nurture. Because I do think it has to be nurtured. I think everything that we live through, everything we go through, kind of pushes us away from a childlike attitude. And it's something we have to consciously think about and give energy toward letting it grow and develop and stay with us. But it is the only path, we're told, the path to eternal life goes through a childlike attitude. And if we don't have it, we don't get it. And so it's serious. So there's a great value, not just in the future, but right now, in having this childlike attitude. Christ knew that focusing on life through that perspective would help us to gain things that we've lost, help us to maintain the right relationship, help us in all the things that we face as Christians. And we see the writers of the Bible recognizing that same thing. That there was a need to turn back to our childhood in some of these ways, to keep this attitude and have this attitude that growing in our life and have it be part of the foundation of our relationship to our parents. Christ wasn't being superficial when he said, be like a child. there's depth to that that I think we've touched on at least today, and what that really means. Christ meant it to have depth, and meant it to carry weight, and meant for us to think about what that would mean in our lives and how that could be manifest in our lives, and recognize that it's more than just something that meets the eye. So we've looked at a few ways. As I said, you could read through all the Psalms and get a better, deeper insight than we could do in a one sermon message and what it really means to be childlike and have that attitude toward our Father. But we've shown, we've seen that it is the way that we develop a better relationship with our parents, with our Father, is through that attitude and the qualities that attitude brings. So let's all think about being little children. You have my permission in the ways that we've talked about today to be a child. You have my encouragement regarding the things that we've talked about today to be a little child. So let's think about that. Let's smile about that. Let's not make light of that. Let's go through our life and work to maintain, to develop, to strengthen, and to encourage a childlike attitude.